Hey, this is Sari, and you guys should check out All Things Transformers with Steve, Megatron, and TFG1 Mike. It's a cool show.
My auditory circuits are go.
You're listening to All Things Transformers, version 2.0.
Gotta tune up or tune out, old bot.
This is why I hate machines.
So, which part of me did you come from?
Don't ask.
This is going to be a long orbital cycle.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers version 2.0. This is episode 40 and we are continuing on with the 30th anniversary celebration of the Transformers. This time around, we are getting animated. We're going to talk about Transformers Animated, the cartoon series, the toys, the books, everything about it, the characters, the voices, the actors, all that good stuff. I am your host, TFG and Mike. Steve Megatron, Megatron has a very, very bad organic virus. he has nothing but a beast mode at this point. He's a very noble soul. So he couldn't be with us tonight, but I have here, as you can tell by the laughter, I have Pecan Court Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
And superstar writer-illustrator... only man to have an official Hasbro licensed Transformers tattoo, Mr. Bill Forster. Hello, sir.
Hi, superstar, huh?
Well,
it's a little bit of exaggeration.
Oh, come on!
I don't know how many people follow Bill on Facebook, but the Transformers animated sketch cards that he's been putting out lately, prior to BotCon 2014, are amazing. It's like you're channeling David Wyatt. It was just.
Derek Wyatt, not David Wyatt.
That's what I said.
You said David. It's Derek, damn it.
Yeah, that's what I said. Derek Wyatt.
I steal everything off of Derek, so yeah.
Oh, my God. No, Derek ghost did all of Bill's cards.
That's right. Yeah. Like the ghost of Derek Wyatt. David Wyatt, what?
But thank you. All right. Thank you.
Yes, they were fantastic.
You had a pretty good experience this year for BotCon, didn't you? And you brought along a little friend to help you out to make sure people didn't bother you.
A little friend? Oh, are you talking about Crimsy?
Yes, Crimsy.
We had a great time. It was a real high energy show, and there was a lot of kids and girls at it, and it just seems like the property's growing and growing and growing, getting more and more fans. So it was really a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my girlfriend wanted to contribute, so she made me some plush Crimseeks that tagged along. So that was kind of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. They turned out really nice.
I'll let her know. She'll appreciate that.
Yep.
And... they sold better than my artwork.
Really? Oh.
How long are they going to be in her shop?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, the idea was just to make a couple of stuffed Crimsy just to add a little bit of dimension to my table, and Christine just wanted to help me out. But when they opened up the show on Friday, we sold four of them immediately. So she said, geez, maybe I should just make more of them and put them in the shop. So I assume they'll be there as long as people want them.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. Cool. The reason why I ask is I was going to put a link to the shop in the post.
Oh, so. Yeah. Please do so. She'd appreciate
absolutely.
It.
All right, we are here to talk about Transformers Animated, which had a huge milestone just before BotCon from the fine people over at Shout Factory. We finally have all 42 episodes in one 6-disc complete series DVD set. We finally have an officially released season 3. It's absolutely amazing.
Yawn.
We finally have it.
Tell me what do you mean, tell me yawn. Come back and tell me when they release season 4.
Oh, shut up. Season 4 never happened.
You know David Wyatt has this closet.
Stop calling him David. You need to stop turning into Dan Gilvezan, dude. This is not Dan Gilvezan interview. Derek Wyatt.
Terry Wyatt.
Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, Shout Factory released the complete series set, and there are 4 brand new commentaries on it, 3 that have never been heard. Well, actually, all 4 have never been heard before, but there was one on Garbage In, Garbage Out on the old DVDs. But the Transwarp 3-parter has new commentaries with Matt Youngberg, Marty Eisenberg, Derek Wyatt, and Susan Blue and David Kay.
Oh, nice.
Are on all 4 of them.
That's all new?
Yes.
Oh, that might be worth picking up then. I take that back. I take it all back. I'm going to buy it.
I told you. See, this is what happens. You don't listen.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
What? 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 I'm getting old.
Shut up, Goofy. All right, so Transformers Animated started in 2008, I believe. I could be wrong. No, December 12. Well, it premiered December 26, 2007, and then ran through 2008, 2009, and so on and so forth. I wasn't the biggest. I actually was probably one of the haters of this series when it first started. What? simply because I didn't care for the animation style, because how my Transformers watching goes, it goes G1, Beast Wars, Beast Machines, and then animated. I skip over that those crappy 4 cartoons in the middle. Yes, getting rid of the Unicron trilogy was the best thing they could have ever done. For me, going from Beast Machines to animated, it was a huge, huge design change and difference. Yeah. And back then it was, I could barely, and that was the other thing that kind of turned me off to it, is not necessarily more so the series, but what Cartoon Network has continually done ever since then. They constantly jerk air dates around and everything else. And I honestly, by the time season 2 came up and I was really starting to get into it, I could never find the damn new episodes. I constantly found repeats on Cartoon Network. Mm. It wasn't until season 3 that I was really, I figured it out. Okay, Saturday at 10 or 10:30 or whatever the hell it was, Eastern time, like, okay, it's going to be season 3 and that'll be awesome. And the season 3 is where I had my turnaround point. Michael, when did you first, were you on board when it first started, or?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty well sick of the Unicron trilogy, so even when they first posted the first picture, the world got their first, taste of what, Derek, I'm going to say it right now from now on, but, got the first taste of what Derek was going to present to the world. Half the fandom went, and the other half went, no, demon, and there were a lot of people who just said no. And I was kind of on the fence. I said, it's got to be better than what we had. I don't know the context of it yet. I just got a picture here. It doesn't look awful. It's different, but let's stop and see what the animation is going to look like. And when we finally got a look at the art or the actual animation, the writing style. The voice acting, it all came together for me just immediately. Boom, the first episode. I really liked it, and I was really surprised to hear that you didn't like it. And I was like, how could somebody not like this? This is awesome. I mean, it's different. It's really different, but still it's really cool. I don't even know what it's going to be called yet, but the new Transformers series are coming out with now, where it's like Bumblebee Prime and his team of misfits, and the animation
Robots
style.
In Disguise.
Oh God, what a terrible name! They've already used that, and they got a comic book called that. So, terrible name, but the whole idea is different, and it looks different, and they've done something weird with the storyline. You know, and they're introducing these characters that, you know, hey, we might not like this. You know, change is bad. But, you know, based on my experiences with animated, I'm willing to give this the grain of salt that it deserves until it actually comes out.
Mm. What about you, Bill? Were you on board with this when it first came out, or what was your initial reaction to it?
I was. I mean, I appreciate that, you know, things that are different are scary, and when things are scary, you immediately tend to not want to be part of it. And when the new, when animated was first premiered, and we've seen the first images of it, I appreciated that people were very leery of it, very scared of it. Mm-hmm. But I come from being a fan of Bruce Timm and Shane Gillies, and to me, it just looked like the Transformer equivalent of that style, that came about with like Batman Animated and stuff, where it's simplistic. And I immediately took to it, and I kind of, you know, just kind of grabbed onto it and said, yeah, that it's going to be the Batman Animated of Transformers. It's going to be fantastic. And when we met Derek, which was very early on, we got a chance to see a lot of behind the scenes and see a lot of character designs before a lot of people got a chance to. And I was on board. I thought it was great. And I think the fact that it had sort of a whimsical feel, I think, mm-hmm. Added a lot to it too. I mean, I just think it went in a lot of different directions. It had a lot of potential, and I think it was very appealing. So yeah, I was on board from the beginning.
Cool. Awesome. You had that inside track.
Yeah, which is kind of fun.
You know, going back, I think it holds up very well. There are a few like jumps in logic that my suspension of disbelief just refuses to even like. Sorry, I know when we did the Transformation Animation podcast, when we reviewed all these episodes individually, beat by beat, a lot of us mentioned the fact that Sari's key works on toilets. That's a little that is way above. That's like my suspension of disbelief just cannot disbelieve that.
Futuristic toilet.
It's a robot toilet from New Detroit.
Japan has futuristic toilets. Maybe it's one of those types of toilets.
It's got a bidet built in.
Oh, God.
It talks. Yeah.
It's a robot bidet. It wants to discuss your leavings as you know, hey.
All I can think of is Mater in the bathroom in Cars 2 now.
Exactly. That kind of robot toilet.
Yeah, no.
I think because the show has a lot more whimsy to it than what we mm-hmm. dealt with before, with the earlier incarnations of Transformers, I think you're able to have a broader sense of what you believe and what, you know, your ability to disbelieve. Or suspend disbelief, rather. I think it just lends itself to not worrying about the little details and just going along for the ride. Because it is very whimsical and lighthearted and more about moving the story along and enjoying yourself than it is about details and drama.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Yeah. I do like the series. I'm just saying, like, initially, there were several things about the first two seasons that I just...
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah. I've been telling him his opinion has been bad for years. Your opinion is just wrong, sir.
All right. Do we have... Bill, what are some of your favorite episodes?
Oh, some of my favorite episodes. I like Garbage In, Garbage Out a lot.
Weird Al.
And so I really, really love that. Let me think now. Now you're putting me on the spot. anything with Grimlock in it, I like. The Auto Boot Camp was a good one. I really appreciate that one. Not only because it progressed the story a lot, but you just got a chance to see Cybertron. You got to see a lot of some new characters. So that was a lot of fun for me, I thought.
Right.
What about you guys?
For me, I really liked the Elite Guard when Jazz showed up. And, I mean...
People really like Jazz.
Yeah.
Phil LaMarr is Animated's own Scatman. He really is. No, he really is. His voice for that style of Jazz really, really worked.
I love Phil in anything he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea he was Vamp in Metal Gear Solid 2. I had no clue. You know, but Phil, he's an amazing voice actor. We've talked to him several times, and for me, Elite Guard, and honestly, right above that has to be at least Transwarp Part 1, because, hello, the return of Judd Nelson, even though they cosmic rusted him, jerks.
Yeah, people really attach themselves to the Team Char sort of... the Team Char scene, and if you really look at it, it's only a couple of minutes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
People absolutely loved it.
Yeah, between that and Endgame, the very final moment of Endgame,
right.
That I swear that last 57, 59 seconds of music, some of the best, one of the best little pieces of Transformers music I've ever heard.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at it now. Or listen to it rather.
Other episodes I liked, I liked Society of Ultimate Villainy only because of
what
I liked it.
No, that was a fun episode.
That was a fun episode.
I'm not complaining. No, I like the. I'm going to go back here a few years and remind you that I was the only one who liked the human villains, and here we have like, you know, the human. You know, League of Evil and all together at the same time. And you're like, yeah, I like that one. Like, what?
Well,
wait a minute. You don't even like the human villains.
Wait a minute here.
All right.
The only human villain I don't care for is Professor Princess. I loved Slow-Mo. And the main reason why I love the SUV episode is because of, you know, press the red button. It's friggin' Fred Willard as Swindle. That's some of the best, like...
Fred Willard.
I can't remember off the top of my head, and I'm not going to sit here and look it up to see, but I can't remember who voiced Swindle in G1, but whoever did, Fred Willard was an amazing update version of Swindle.
Fred Willard was great. That was before the whole Fred Willard sex scandal thing.
You always have to go deep, don't you, dude?
Well, I was just saying, there was a whole weird Fred Willard thing. But no, he was awesome. I actually started following him on Twitter specifically because I liked his voice acting as Swindle.
What about you, Michael? What are some of your favorite episodes?
I liked Megatron Rising. Mm-hmm. I liked the... Oh, heck, I want to say that's Corey Burton as Megatron.
Yep.
You know, his Megatron was just dead on. It was like, oh, this is clearly, you know, what Megatron has needed for a long, long time. Up until they actually brought back G1 Megatron.
Frank Welker.
Frank Welker. National Treasure, Frank Welker. right on the tip of my tongue there, and I couldn't get it out. I'm sorry. But yeah, before they actually got Frank Welker back to do it, you know, the Corey Burton was the definitive Megatron voice. In my opinion, you know, he's just like, Decepticons, rise up! Like, yes, that's awesome! I really liked the Constructicons. I was really hoping they would make more and have them combine.
I always got the impression that's where they were headed with that.
Yeah, because they had a head and they had two body parts. They already had an Autobot that consisted of two body parts that folded together in half, which was awful. But I would have bought that for the Constructicons. Two body parts together with a head on top. I would have bought it. five servos of Doom. With you know, they have Yokitron, who was named after Hideaki Yoke, who is the Japanese designer who designed Megatron way back in 19. What was that when he first said that would have been like 78?
I have no idea, dude.
No, because remember the original Megatron was microchange toy.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, so that would have been like years and years before the actual Transformers. So at one point, Hideaki Aoki, I want to say in 2008, he showed up at BotCon and I met him.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, he was talking to Matt Tiger, and I walked up and I'm like, "Hey, Matt," you know, because I talked to him 10 minutes earlier, and he's like, "Hey," and he's like, "This is Hideaki Aoki," and I'm like, "Holy cow, it's so good of you to come," and he's like, "Ah, arigato," you know. And it was, I'll never forget, because as I was talking to him, some other guy who just talked to Peter Cullen and signed his G1 Mint in Package Optimus Prime walked over in front of us and had Yoke sign his Optimus Prime too. I'm like, holy cow, that is awesome.
Is so cool.
I was just momentarily jealous. But there was that. And the voice actor was George Takei.
Yep.
And they get a little bit into Lockdown's backstory and a little bit into Jazz's backstory, and it was a lot of cameos in that episode. So yeah, that might have been one of my favorites.
Another one I'm remembering is Human Error. I like a lot.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah, Human Error is gonna come back up. Later, I think this year on Tooncast Beyond, because it's part of I'm trying to do something a little different for Tooncast Beyond this year. I'm going to have two spotlights, a Golden Age of Animation spotlight this summer, and then this winter I'm starting my first annual 25 Days of Christmas, since I spent an entire afternoon going through the entire internet looking for every US-based Christmas cartoon special I could ever think of. And Human Error, Part 1 and Part 2, are part of the Action Block episode. Let's see. I loved A Bridge Too Close. I love that two-parter, the season 2 finale. We finally kind of get to see Omega in action. Mm-hmm. I was, as much as I love Phil Lamar and I respect him for everything he does, I was a little bit let down that he kind of, well... Kevin Michael Richardson was Omega originally, and then Phil took over for him. I think Phil does a fine job, but I still like KMR's version a little bit better.
I'm not sure that I'd be able to pick them apart.
Oh, I can.
Yeah.
I've watched enough KMR, and I've watched enough Phil Lamar stuff to be able to tell the difference. Let's see. What's the other episodes that I liked? I liked Predacons Rising. That ending was really funny. The Beast Animals.
Right.
Yeah.
The Beast Wars reference at the end of that. Overall, I gotta say, throughout the entire series, I was ready for Fanzone to get squished. And then they went and made This Is Why I Hate Machines. And basically made him go to a place filled with machines. And then I kind of really felt sympathetic for the guy. Oh, God. Yeah. All right. Were there any episodes we didn't like? Not necessarily hated or just don't care for, probably won't put on a watch list or anything like that?
I can't think of anything. I thought it was such a solid show that if there was something I didn't like, I kind of just don't remember, you know?
There was the Sorry No One's Home episode.
Oh, yeah. You don't like Sorry at all.
You know, so. No, I like Sorry. I love Tara Strong. I don't like Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't like the idea that you've got Macaulay Culkin in the Autobot headquarters, you know, causing trouble for the Constructicon Joe Pesci.
Oh, jeez.
I just didn't like that episode. I thought that was terrible.
Can I tell you something? I must have seen that episode 1,000 times, and I don't know if I ever specifically said, oh, those guys are Joe Pesci and whoever the other guy was.
Daniel Stern.
Like, I thought it was just a pun on Home Alone in title and basic story only. But yeah, now I'm forever going to see Joe Pesci in it. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. It all comes full circle. Back in the day, I remember Blanchard having an issue with the headmaster.
The only time I have not had an issue with the headmaster is when he comes back for the final time in Starscream's body.
Right.
And I thought it was absolutely hilarious. That's what I'm saying. I thought it was absolutely hilarious when Optimus Prime calls him a noob and says, well, I bet you can't transform in that body. And he goes to try to transform, and he's like, I'm guessing the bot's body I jacked has a much smaller head. That was the best part about Headmaster.
But he cut his own head off?
Yeah. I like the homage that there's a head and you have to put a human in. I like the homage of Headmaster. I just don't like Masterson. He's another one of the human villains that I just don't care for.
You know, when he first appeared, I was, and you hear his voice, I was like, oh, I'm going to hate this character. He's just going to drive me crazy. This character, people like that drive me crazy. But he grew on very, very quickly. He grew on me. And I kind of seen
I liked him. Yeah.
Character of those people, you know?
I want to say Meltdown. I liked the idea of Meltdown. I liked the story arc that he had. I mean, he had a pretty much a beginning, a middle, and an end. Mm-hmm. But that was the last we saw of him. He turned into Meltdown, and there he went.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they went a different direction in season three, toward the end of season two and season three. But I honestly think at that point he would have been too powerful to ignore.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Assuming he reconstituted himself, right? Like Sandman.
Oh, Lord.
What?
That's... God, can you imagine if there was ever a live-action movie based on this series? Thomas Hayden Church as Meltdown.
Take that. Oh, wait. Oh, and there was that that episode about race cars. I think that's where they introduced Blur.
Velocity.
Yeah, and that was just... Yeah, that was... I mean, I get it. They wanted to have a Too Fast, Too Furious... type episode, but it didn't do anything for me.
Okay. All right, so favorite characters, Bill, for the Autobots.
Oh, Autobots. Bulkhead really captured my heart. I really like Bulkhead a lot. I'll choose that.
Okay. You don't have to just choose one.
Oh, I have to just choose one.
I said characters, not character.
I liked Ratchet a lot because he reminded me of myself because I'm kind of a crotchety old man. So I really got into Ratchet, Bulkhead. I mean, I really appreciated a lot of the characters, but those two stand out a lot for me.
What about the Decepticons?
Starscream and all the clones. I love what they did with the clones. That was just such a clever idea, and it was executed so beautifully, and I really thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tom Kenny killed that.
Yeah. I always get drawn towards Starscream, but that might be my favorite incarnation of him.
Michael, for the Autobots?
It's hard, because you love the main cast so much that you can't just pick one that's like they're all your babies.
Didn't say you had to pick one. You can pick multiples.
I picked them all.
Are you old guys not listening to me? Seriously?
I pick all of them.
No, you can't catch them all, Michael.
I really liked, I want to say, aside from the main cast, right? I like Jazz. Mm-hmm. Sentinel Prime is one of those characters you just want to hate. He's just like, God, this guy is such a jerk, but he just steals every episode he's in.
Yeah,
I really like Retgar. Mm. What little screen time he got, because it's Weird Al. You can't not like him.
I agree.
Yeah. And as far as Decepticons go, I want to say I like everything that Cree Summer does. So, Black Arachnia was a cool character for me. Blitzwing. with his three personalities. That was, yeah. Like I said, it's hard to pick one for your favorite because they're all so awesome.
Yeah, because as you're talking, I'm sitting here going like, oh, I really like Lugnut. Lugnut was just phenomenal to me.
And oh,
like,
yeah.
Lockdown.
And glorious Megatron.
Yeah, I got to write his voice for the Almanacs, and I just had so much fun with it. And he's just a really fun character. But like I said, Lockdown too is another character that really shines.
Lance Henriksen, when he first opened his mouth, I said, holy cow, that's Lance Henriksen as Bishop. I'm going to die. Lance Henriksen. Honestly, the guest casting on this show was just blew me away.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the guy'd open his mouth and then, oh my gosh, it's Sue Blue. Or, oh, it's Cree Summer. Or not Cree Summer, but like Weird Al. Oh, it's Weird Al. Fred Willard. Just all of them were just, it was too much.
What about you, Mike?
For the Autobots, I liked Optimus. He's a little bit younger. What is so amazing in this series is you have the ultimate villain voice actor, the only guy in Transformers history to ever switch sides, David Kay, as Optimus Prime. I like Optimus. I like him for the fact that he is a little, I don't want to say rusty around the edges. He's a younger version of Optimus. He's not, you know, Peter Cullen status, but he has also seen more action than the rest of the core cast. Outside of the core cast, I love Grimlock. If they couldn't have gotten Berger to do Grimlock, David Kay does a great Grimlock.
We're going to go down the cast list and see who else David Kay voices, and we're just going to preempt you.
No. There are way too many. I'm actually looking at it now. There are way too many I haven't pulled up.
I bet you're going to pick Lugnut, too.
Actually, no. Lugnut is one of the characters I cannot stand from this series.
Really?
His endless pontificating needs to stop.
That's part of what makes him awesome, though.
No. Jazz. I love Jazz. Blur. For what little screen time Blur had, and for what little voice time he had, simply amazing getting Machida back. There is no, like,
that's more of that guest voice acting that came in that was spot on target.
Absolutely. But see, here's the thing, you know, not that I wish any ill will towards Mr. Machida, but if anything ever happens to that guy, who would then do a fast Blur? No one.
David Kay.
No.
And you'd love it.
No. Shut up. I like the Jet Twins for how ridiculous they are.
Wow.
Everybody loves Sentinel for how ridiculous and over the top he is. All he is a robot version of the Tick, and I couldn't stand the Tick. But the Jet Twins, for the simple fact that it's Tom Kenny as Jetfire and Phil LaMarr as Jetstorm, they work so well together.
First off, shame on you for not liking the Tick. they worked off each other very well. They had such a great speech pattern.
Absolutely. Even though he doesn't talk and we don't have a voice actor for him, the half a second Cyclonus showed up. Absolutely love that. What's the other one? Swindle, Fred Willard. We've already talked about that a lot. And honestly, Rodimus is number one. Even though he doesn't have a lot of screen time, Rodimus would be my number one character.
Because awesome guest voice acting.
Yeah, but I was more so interested to see how they were gonna animate him, as far as giving him an animated style.
Yeah.
I know that doesn't he show up in some of the other bad Transformers US cartoons? Isn't there a Rodimus and Energon and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
I think
I've seen some really, since between G1 and animated, I've seen a lot of really, a lot of Rodimuses that I just really don't care for the design for. So
yeah.
I kind of knew going into season 3, if he was going to show up, that, you know, Derek Wyatt and the rest of the team would pay, you know, really good close attention. And his animated design works so well.
Yeah.
It really does.
I think they made his neck too long. No, actually, he had a really good toy. Yeah, the Rodimus toy was really nice, and there was some really, really good repaints out of that toy.
Yeah, I like the Pippo too.
Yeah.
Any characters we don't like?
You know, I think Dirt Boss got on my nerves.
Yeah,
really fast.
I have to agree with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you got a problem with that? You got a problem with that? You got a problem with that? It's like, make it stop.
The only way Dirt Boss would have been so much better using that speech pattern is if it was really Burgess Meredith doing the voice. That's the only way that would have worked for me.
Yeah. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'll go along with Dirt Boss now. Also, didn't care for... I'm blanking on the name now.
Porter C. Powell?
Porter C. Powell. Yes, thank you.
There you go. Because he was my other choice. Was like, Porter C., nah, I just didn't like him as a character.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, the other Decepticon I meant to mention as far as the liked, and I can't believe I completely forgot this. Corey returning as Shockwave, even though Shockwave's colors were completely wrong for the first two seasons.
That was
loved Shockwave. Yeah.
You didn't like Soundwave? I like Soundwave.
No, I like Shockwave. I didn't even mention Soundwave.
You know, when you said, I was actually expecting you to pop out with, but that was the wrong guy. Never mind. I was excited when I first saw Soundwave. So, yeah. And the white version of Soundwave, which I totally would have bought as a toy.
Yeah.
But by the time season 3 came out, I want to say they stopped putting the animated toys out because they were flooding the shelves with was it the second movie?
Probably.
Second movie toys? Yeah, it was a shame because we lost a lot of good toys. Some of the toys that only came out in Japan that I totally would have bought if they had come out here.
Yeah, you still can buy those Japanese toys in conventions and online.
But, you know, for $100, I don't know. Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it worth it to have a red Grimlock or, let's say, a Bumblebee with a scuba suit? I don't know.
It was worth it to get the Blackout, though.
Oh, yeah, I totally would have bought a Blackout. Yeah, yeah. No, but that was a bigger toy. That thing was...
Yeah.
Yeah, he was Voyager.
No, yeah, he was easily over $100, and that was before shipping from Japan. So it was a really tough call because, you know, the series was on its way out, and there's a whole lot of other toys coming, and I was like, man, do I really want to buy this? I don't know. But yeah, now you can't find it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember it was actually, I don't remember what weekend it was, but it was a weekend that. I think it was the weekend that the episode aired where Shockwave finally reveals his true colors.
Yeah.
I remember watching that episode. I had just woken up. I remember watching it and I'm like, holy crap. Okay, I got to put my hand out before my head hits the ground here because I literally almost fell out of bed at that moment. And then I get up, I get around and I get to my computer and I'm looking at this and I'm seeing Derek J. Wyatt tweet out about, holy crap, Target sale, all Transformers animated toys, $5.
$5, yeah.
I went up to Target with my $5, and I looked for the Shockwave and Bumblebee 2-pack just to have purple Shockwave.
Yeah, I bought like 3 or 4 of them. It was a brand.
You buy 3 or 4 of everything.
I think I don't want to say that. Back in the day, I used to buy 1 or 2. Like, I need one in package and one for my shelf, you know. I don't do that anymore, but way back then, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, the Sunstorms were $5, too. And I bought like 5 or 6 of those, and they're still sitting in the closet waiting for the day I gained enough energy to paint them into the other Seekers.
Exactly. A lot of people did paint them. What was the yellow? I think I paid full price for the yellow Ratchet. I think he came with the gold lockdown.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was full price. Yeah, but no. When I saw that they had to have mispriced those. Those were brand new toys.
Sure.
And and for some reason they're on the shelf for $5 everywhere. And I went to 2 different Targets. I got a bunch of them. Yeah. They're still in my closet somewhere. And I was like, yeah, you know, and not so much because I was hoarding them like some people, you know, I didn't sell them all on eBay immediately, but because I really like that. I really like the animated toys.
All the kids in my family got a Shockwave for Christmas. So yeah.
Yeah. Actually, a bunch of kids in my family got Starscreams. Because at one point they were all on clearance, and I was like, ha, 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 ha. I'm going to share the gift of Tom Kenny with everyone I know.
They're all on clearance, but you had to basically raid the back room at a Target to find them all.
Yeah. Oh, that was years later, wasn't it?
No, that was during
animated. Was that animated? All right.
I think so. Just to give you some context, Bill, there's a story Michael told me about his toy hunting. And at one point, he went into the back room of a Target store.
I did not go into the back room. You're mistelling the story. What happened is they hadn't restocked at Target for a very long time. Because, again, they were kind of in between movies. Mm-hmm. And maybe somewhere at the tail end of like a Generations line or something. Maybe Classics line. I forget exactly what I bought. But at one point, I walked down the aisle, the toy aisle, and they had just cases and cases of Transformers on the floor. And I'm thinking, you know, I could crack these cases open right now and take a peek and see what's in there. Or I could wait for them to stock the shelves and have all the scalpers come and take all the good stuff.
Right.
So, I pulled out my car keys. You know, tore off the tape, opened the box, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I bought like one of each. I just went through all the boxes, and I was almost done. I had a huge pile that I was gonna buy. I probably bought like 10 toys. And I had a huge stack, and this lady, you know, who worked there, walked up to me and said, you can't open these boxes. And I looked at her and I said, but I already did. And I said, look what I found. And she's like, but you can't. I said, well, I can still buy these, right? And she looked at me and said, yeah. And I said, all right, then. Have a good night. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, here, you stock the rest of these. I'm done. But I bought like 10 that day. But you know what? When I came back a day or two later, they not only had those toys from those boxes up, but they had more. And I bought maybe two or three more, but and it was like, I mean, honestly, they hadn't restocked in a month or two, and I was starting to get my Jones, you know, and I really needed new toys. I don't even remember which ones exactly it was, but I had a blog post about it somewhere. I could probably look it up, but it's not that important. But every once in a while, Blanchard trots out that story like I'm in all black ninja stealth suit, you know, climbing along. In the rafters of the back room, ready to drop down on a case of Transformers.
You know you would do that if you could. Don't even sit here and lie. You know you would do that if you could.
And then the employee turned the corner and said, hey, you, get your damn hands off that box. And I threw down a smoke grenade and said, ninja, disappear. 10 years from now, that story will have reached those proportions.
Hasn't it already?
No, not yet. You make it sound like I'm just like, you know, kind of sneaking in tiptoe, da, 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 like Spy versus Spy, and I'm looking around, da, 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 making tippy toe noises as I sneak toward the cases.
You're doing all of this while eating some Jell-O pudding pops, right?
Eating the pudding.
There's two toys out of the entire toy line that I absolutely do not like. One nearly caused me physical injury. The other, I just feel is
I remember that.
Too short for the other one is I just feel that the toy is way too short in stature. Like it just doesn't feel like the way it should. It doesn't look the way it should. It is show accurate for the design, but it just doesn't. The size is all wrong. So the one that injured me, one I was really excited for, because as Michael said earlier when we were talking about the characters, I also loved Blitzwing from this series.
Yeah.
As soon as Crazy Face Blitzwing said, "Let's all dance around the maypole," I just cracked up. I thought that was a hilarious line. I go Christmas, I think it was 08, 09. I go and Blitzwing was one of the toys that I wanted to talk about on ToyCast, which is now a retired podcast here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So I got him, got it home, and took me about 20 minutes and it nearly pretty much almost bent my entire thumbnail back trying to get the damn toy out of the packaging, even with scissors to cut the wires, because they intermingled. Instead of just having three twist ties at 3 points on the toy, they intermingled them all on the under. I had to actually halfway transform the damn thing to get it out of the package.
Oh, you wee lab. Did you break
Shut
a nail?
Fuck you.
I think I chipped a nail.
There's a difference between chipping a nail and a nail basically being folded all the way back off your finger.
And that's why you don't like the toy itself?
Huh?
That's why you don't like the toy itself?
Yes, that's why I don't like the toy itself.
You just had a bad experience.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Soundwave. The toy for Soundwave is just, it's too small.
It's a little squat. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that. Just way too small for my leg. Like,
but look at the bulkhead toy. It's a good toy, but he's, you know, I want to say he was a Voyager, and he's, you know, shorter than RC.
To me, the toy that was too small was Lugnut.
But, oh, yeah, you know, Lugnut still kind of towers above everyone except for Voyager Prime and Lockdown. Lockdown always amazed me because he, like, unfolded in half and was, like, 10 feet tall. I mean, he's just this really big toy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he towers over everybody.
The funny thing with Earth Mode Voyager Optimus is I had bought one because I was, you know, back when I was collecting toys, I was like, Michael, I need to have one for... Actually, I did it for two reasons. I had to have one to display in robot mode and one to display in vehicle mode. At the time, I wasn't really too particular about the packaging.
Right.
And I had found one for robot mode, but I hadn't found one for vehicle mode. And I went on to entertainmentearth.com and got one from them. And I'm looking at my two primes. I'm like, one of these things just doesn't belong here, because the one on the left doesn't have a Autobot symbol on his left arm. And then the one on the right does. And I'm like, what in the hell is going on here? Did they screw me out of my Autobot symbol? It turns out that... it wasn't a variant. Ah. It was Earth Mode Optimus, but it turns out that apparently Entertainment Earth got that very, very first raw shipment in, and apparently the first shipment of that toy that had ever had been released didn't come with a sticker on its left arm.
So they did screw you out of an Autobot symbol.
Well, Entertainment Earth didn't. Hasbro did.
Right.
Yeah. Damn it, Hasbro.
Yeah. You know, I really wish a lot of the unreleased toys would have come out. I know some of them did.
Yeah.
But, like, was it not Toxic Oil Slick? What was the Swindle? Mercenary Swindle. I wish Mercenary Swindle would have come out, because that was a cool version of that toy.
Right. Waspinator.
Yeah, he was better as Wasp.
Well, I mean, Wasp. Even with even as just a green bumblebee with no retooled face, just a green bumblebee like they had advertised, would have been fine. I would have bought that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, retooled face would have pushed it way over the edge, but I would have bought it.
I could have sworn he was gonna have. I think he did have purple eyes.
I'm looking at the picture now. Yeah, it looks like he has purple eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been. Or, you know what they could have done is they could have really, you know, milked us all for some money and released us like a leader class, Voyager. They could have released a Voyager Bumblebee with electronics that he would have electronic paint. So you press a button, it changes to Wasp. You press a button, it changes back to Bumblebee.
I don't know if we're there as far as technology goes.
Oh, come on now.
Well, yeah.
Maybe not back then.
Maybe do one of those Zartan things where if you throw them in the snow, he just turns green.
That would have been cool. Tartan was my favorite. I always used to put him in the sunlight and watch him change colors.
Right.
Now, do you think, as far as toys go, do you think that the BotCon 2011 set is a, like, canon animated, or...
Sure, why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. No. Sure, why not? But I'm torn because I don't have them. So... they don't count.
I don't... Well, I don't have them either, but they are canon.
Oh. Yeah.
They are canon before... Go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You go right ahead.
They are canon because I have the comic, and the comic takes place after Optimus returns to Cybertron at the end of Endgame.
Right.
And in the comic... It's a story of Sideswipe and Cheetor being basically bosom buddy cops. And so, yes, the Stunticon job is absolutely canon.
Awesome. And again, you know, I don't own them, so I kind of feel bad about that. That was one of the, I want to say 2010. Maybe I did make it to 2010. I want to say 2010 was when I stopped going to BotCons.
Yeah, you went to 2010. I think you didn't go to 2011.
Okay, well, then it was 2011 that I stopped going.
That was the year that the animated set came out.
That was a nice set, too. I really liked it.
That set was amazing. I actually have, because I don't know if I've mentioned this on All Things Transformers. I know you know this, Michael, but I am a huge supporter of Kali Kari Shoka and her Puggleformers.
Right, right.
I actually had her, because I knew I was never going to be able to get the toys themselves, I actually had her make me a set of Puggles based on the 2011 set.
Nice.
And when I got the comic, I was able to take pictures of the Puggles next to their comic counterparts.
That's funny.
Well,
funny.
Yeah, I'm crazy. But no, that BotCon 2011 set is by far one of the best sets they ever put out.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like every time I don't go, I kind of regret not going.
Yeah, but and you know this... the part about it is, Michael, is the customization class that year did Minerva out of the RC mold.
Yep.
So even if you track down that box set and get the Toxitron, you're still going to be missing that Minerva.
You still don't get a Minerva. Yeah.
Yeah.
That turned out really nice, too. I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, yeah.
There, I want to say, there is a guy on TFW 2005, and I've seen his thread in the customizations, and I forget what they call their customization thread. It's something, I forget what they call it. But this guy, he does hand repaints of the RC mold, and he's done one of... Oh, Criminy. What's the new Maker Scott? Windblade. Windblade. I want to say Windraiser, but it's Windblade. He did a beautiful retool of it into Windblade with a whole headpiece.
Right, right.
It's gorgeous. And he also did a Chromia.
Uh-huh.
It's just beautiful. I was like, wow. I mean, and again, if Hasbro made those, I would totally buy it. Well, actually, now they are. Yeah. They're making – you know what's funny?
Yeah.
I hate to bring it up again as far as BotCon goes, but the pictures that came out of BotCon, you know, they have a beautiful RC in kind of Transformers Prime style. They have a beautiful Chromia in Transformers Prime style. And then they have this very classic Transformers Classics looking Windblade.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, if that Windblade looked like the comic, this beautiful art that they put in the comic, it's not traditional Transformers art, but it's gorgeous. The art is beautiful. The coloring is beautiful. It's just just such a nicely done comic. But it looks a lot more like the Prime style.
You know, I only walked past it a couple of times, just kind of glanced over at it, but it looked pretty good to me. It looked nice and sleek. But, you know, maybe I'm remembering wrong, but I thought it looked pretty cool.
You know, honestly, I think if they made Slipstream with fans on her wings, that might be more what I would expect it to look like.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah, because again, there's a lot of there's a lot of Greebles, you know, in the sense that they put a lot of detail in there that you don't normally see,
right,
like in a more of a streamlined, for lack of a better term, more like a Prime toy.
Right.
Not to beat a dead horse, since we're not all looking at the pictures together, but, you know. It's like, man, if they had made a toy that, like the Chromia, that looked like they lifted it off the, you know, lifted it off the comic book page, right, for that wind blade, that would have been epic. But I think they made the design for that long before they decided, you know, what the art style of the comic was going
to
be.
I'm going to have to look at it.
Yeah.
Overall, animated was a good run. It was highly successful. A lot of cool toys. There are a few toys that I'm sure a lot of people wanted to burn in hell.
Just because it bit your finger. Yeah.
No.
What was the toy? Wait. What was it? This might not have been an animated toy, but you had a toy that you were playing with and accidentally shot the missile. And it went behind your desk, and you're like, "There's no way in hell I'm gonna be able to move this desk to get the missile back." And I want to say it was an animated toy.
No, that was when you sent me the Optimal Optimus, one of Optimal Optimus's missiles, and one of our fans actually mailed me a separate missile.
You know what? You eventually had to move out of that apartment. You got it back, right?
Yeah, I'm back in the. I'm actually downstairs from the one I used to live in.
Yeah.
No, I remember my buddy Optibotomus. He at one point, I think it was Activators. It was one of the Starscream toys.
Yeah.
That he had some sort of physical injury similar to what happened to me about, you know, bending a fingernail backwards or something. And he,
you wee lamb.
Shut up. I think there's a video out there somewhere. I'll have to ask him of him setting a Starscream toy on fire.
Blasphemy.
Because it pissed him off so much.
I love the Activators line. Those were awesome.
No, Animator was highly successful. What I was going to say was, before Michael interrupted me, was outside of a few of the ones that I couldn't personally, like, as much as I love Ultra Magnus, I never got that toy into missile truck mode. I watched, like, 3 damn different video reviews to figure out how to transform it. I'm like, screw it, I'll just leave him in robot mode.
It's an awesome robot mode.
It is, very much so.
But the leader class?
Yeah.
Oh, he's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the Roadbuster repaint of that. He's on the shelf. The original Ultra Magnus colors I've got still in the box in the closet, but the Roadbuster repaint was gorgeous. Yeah. He's just a fantastic toy.
Anything else we want to bring up about anime? Well, I guess since Bill is here, we talked to Jim about Jim Sorensen about the AllSpark Almanac, but I don't remember, because I think when we interviewed you guys for the Legacy book, it was the first time we actually talked with you personally. Right. What was your experience putting both the almanacs together?
Well, you know, we did the ARC books, character models from the G1 show, and we went to VodCon, and we're sitting in a panel when they're talking about Transformers Animated, and Derek was on the panel. And we said, hey, there's our opportunity for another book. You know, that's how we're going to expand ourselves into the next project. And we went and spoke to Derek about it, and he was all for it. And we just were immediately swept up in this thing. And we realized we couldn't just take these models and put them on a white piece of page and just say, like, here's Optimus, here's Jazz. Like we did with the Ark, because the Ark's kind of a little, for lack of a better term, academic looking. It looks like a reference book. Like it just isn't going to lend itself. So we sat around saying, like, how what are we going to do to fill the space, to kind of like make it more in keeping with the show? And we said, well, let's put episode guides in and do character bios. I said, yeah, but you know, you read thousands of character bios a year, and episode guides are always boring. How do we make this more interesting? You know, how do we? Nobody wants to really read an episode guide unless you're a hardcore fan. How do we make this accessible to the kids who are watching the show and what have you? And I got it in my head that it would be brilliant if the whole book was narrated by Sari. And I went to town arguing this. I was like, we'll just have the whole book in Sari's voice. And Jim said, well, what if we just do everybody's voice? Everybody gets to speak. And we do the whole thing in universe, and we kind of came up with this idea that, you know, if Optimus talks about jazz, then you not only learn about jazz, but because it's Optimus's voice, you kind of learn a little bit about Optimus and his point of view. And we're like, yeah, this is a brilliant idea. Now, how do we then take that into the episode guides and make the episode guides interesting? Well, let's make it a Autobot report or a Decepticon, Megatron's log. And then it became, well, what if this is in a newspaper? What if we, and it would just escalated into this, it very organically escalated into this love letter to the show. And it was just probably the most fun I ever had in my life was writing these books. My experience with it is I wish I could do 10 more of these.
They were really well done.
They were very well done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Because I could so hear Slipstream doing a bio for whomever she, I don't have the book in front of me, whoever she wrote the
I think Thundercracker.
Yeah.
One of the clones. But, you know, we were going through, like, who's going to talk about who and, you know, who gets to speak and for what episode. You guys, we made a rule, and that is nobody can talk about themselves unless it's Starscream. And if you read the book, he's the only one who talks about himself.
Man, that must really have gotten Sentinel's goat since he loves to talk about himself.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things that came out of those books was the Yatter page, the Transformers version of Twitter. I love that.
That was Jim. That was solely Jim.
Yeah, that was awesome. That
I came over to one morning to kind of get started, and he had been up all night making that, and he was really proud. He's like, "What can we do to make it better?" And I was like, "Nah, that's it. That you just take it and put it in the book." It's.
So did you guys like lock yourselves in a room and write these?
It depends what we're doing. Sometimes we collaborated and sometimes we kind of like walked away and did our own thing. Some of the Rodimus's bio, both me and Jim both wrote together. And then in other situations, like whenever Sentinel speaks, it's Jim. Whenever an 8-year-old girl speaks, it's me, you know, and it's just, you know, we just assigned characters to each other. Sometimes I used to work down at LAX airport at the time, and I ride a motorcycle, and I used to work at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I would find myself on the highways driving to the airport in the middle of the night or early morning in the darkness, just shouting out the character voices to just kind of come up with ideas. So I'd be on the motorcycle doing Lugnut or doing Megatron or And that's how I wrote.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've actually got mine open now. I've got two of the first one. The first one, I have a full size one with all the text in it, and I have a smaller one that was sold to elementary schools through Scholastic, right? Yeah. And it's the same. It's got all the pictures, but almost none of the text.
Yeah, but, it's just got bios. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean the text, this is just brilliant text. I mean, because it's written so well that like when you read, let's see, let me find one real quick here. It's like I'm looking at Bumblebee's bio, and it's written by Bulkhead, and when you read it, you immediately go into Bill Fagerbakke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean you see the text. And it immediately puts you in that mind. Even before you get down to where it says signed Bulkhead, you've kind of got that character in mind already.
Yeah, so you really learn about the two characters at once, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like I said, I mean, when you're reading it to yourself, it comes out in that voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just so good. And the pictures, I mean, honestly, you guys must have gotten like just a brain dump from Derek Wyatt.
Oh, they were just giving us hard drives to work off of. Yeah.
This is so, you know, it couldn't have been better if it was like stickers. You know, it's like Decepticon Cybertronian forms. It's like Cybertronian Starscream. I just want to peel them out and put them on my wall. These are so, yeah, this is so awesome.
Oh, God, that reminds me of those Fathead things. You ever remember seeing those commercials?
Yeah. Fathead.
Order the sports star. Order Spider-Man. Take it out.
Yeah.
Peel it off. Slap it on your wall. There you go.
Somebody got me a Fathead movie, Optimus Prime.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's up on my boy's wall upstairs.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I stuck him up on the wall. He likes him.
Transformers animated, you know, even going back and watching. See, that's the beauty of the Shout Factory DVD set is. You can watch all 42 in one place instead of having to go to three or four different DVD cases like with the Paramount DVDs. I can put in disc one, start at Transform and roll out, and go all the way to disc six and end with Endgame.
Right.
And it's one, not that
21 hours later, no bathroom breaks. Watch the whole damn thing.
Come on now. Are you kidding me? I couldn't go 21 hours without posting on Twitter and Facebook. Besides, I watch all the crap on my computer anyway.
There you go.
Anyway, Transformers Animated, absolutely awesome. Great series, great brand. Too bad we didn't get a season four because of the. Because of what Derek had said would have been in season four would have been awesome. I was so waiting for a Shattered Glass episode. I so wanted that.
Did he say there was going to be a Shattered Glass episode?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay. There's models of Optimus out there in Shattered Glass Optimus colors and stuff. And there's actually models out there of the logo in Shattered Glass colors. So yeah, Bill, final thoughts on Animated?
Oh, it's just a wonderful show, and it's a show that, you know, like I just did BotCon yesterday, and I still have people coming up to me and saying, like, do you have any information? Will there ever be a fourth season? Will there ever be a restart? Will there ever be another Almanac? So there's still tons of interest, and I think it really shows the success of this show when you still have people doing that, little kids doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, the little kids do it because they might have parents that watched it and then they showed their kids. Wow. That's right. You know, that's the kind of thing nowadays where you've got someone like Michael who has two boys. He's going to show his boys, hopefully, all of the good versions of the Transformers cartoons, none of the four bad ones.
Oh yeah, no, they've seen the Transformers the movie. Yeah, start them off on the good stuff early.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Arbliss, look, it's Unicron. You know, it's like, heck yeah, it's Unicron. Run!
Yes. Coming up next on All Things Transformers in episode 41, we are going to be going prime time. We're going to be talking All Things Transformers Prime coming up next. Bill, where can the people check you out online?
I'm on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. I use my real name. And BillForster.com. It's my art blog.
Awesome. Michael, what about you?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. You know, call me at home. Say hi.
Okay, then. And, of course, you can find me, TFG and Mike, on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere else. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio on Twitter for all the other network updates. Until next time. Transform, roll out, and we will catch you later.
Mayday! Mayday! Let's all dance around the maypole!
That is, unless you don't think you can handle transforming. It is pretty difficult, especially for a noob such as yourself.
Nobody calls me a noob! Nobody! I'm guessing the bot whose body I kicked, whose head is a lot smaller, is really not cool!
Rodimus to Elite Guard Command! We are under attack! Repeat! Requesting backup, we are under attack!
Stay cool, Rodimus, and try to hold out a little longer.
Elite Guard forces are strained to maximum as it is.
Sir, I don't know how long we can keep the cars from the space bridge.
The cars are going after every space bridge on the periphery.
We can't let any of them transwarp to Cybertron.
I can assure you, Commander, that the Cybertron space bridge nexus is fully guarded. We'll be ready for anything that comes through.
Count on it.
Ironhide! Braun, transform and fall back! We need to protect the space bridge!
Blackout, you fool! We need the space bridge operational!
Oh, sorry.
Cyclonius, Oil Slick, help Free Spitter and secure the perimeter!
You'll have to get past me first, Deceptor creeps!
You say that like it's a difficult thing, Autobot.
Cosmic Rust!
I, Starscream, have taken over Transformers Prime Time. Call me Lord.
No, Starscream, we will not call you Lord, but we will announce that the GCRN is bringing everyone Transformers Prime Time. That's right, before we get into the TFG1 redone, we enter the Prime Universe. Join your hosts, TFG1 Mike, Steve Megatron, Optimus Solo, and Peacon Court Michael as they cover all 65 episodes of Transformers Prime, the comics, the toys, and more. We will also have a commentary on Predacons Rising, interviews with writers, voice actors, and more. All in the latest Transformers review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network, you can find TF Primetime on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. And remember,
one shall stand and one shall fall.